will. Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning as well. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you would, look with me to the book of Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. We're going to be reading verse 14 down to verse 21. Matthew chapter 17. If you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together if you're able to stand. As I read, you follow right along with me. Matthew chapter 17, beginning in verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. And what a blessing it's already been just being in the house of the Lord. Thank you for this church. Thank you for your presence in this place. And Father, now as we have opened up your word and we have read this passage of scripture, this event recorded for us, I believe, God, that you have something for each one of us here today that will help strengthen us in our faith. I pray, God, that you would empower the preaching of thy word once again. I ask that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As we begin our prayer and fasting awareness month, no doubt there are several would be in the auditorium this morning that would be wondering just, what is biblical fasting? People that have been in church for their entire lives have failed to be taught biblical truths concerning prayer and fasting. It's found throughout the Bible. If you have the Word of God, you'll find it in the Old Testament. You'll find it in the New Testament. But in the New Testament, we have here in Matthew chapter 17, and then also the very same event and revealing to us the need for prayer and fasting is also found in Mark in chapter 9. The Lord would have Matthew to pen this as well as Mark to pen this. And it's recorded as, if you will, the signature event for Christ's teaching on New Testament fasting. This would be the signature event because it highlights it. It is very clear in revealing that there is a need from time to time for not only prayer, but for prayer and fasting. As we look at the story here, we find that Jesus at this point had already sent out his apostles to represent him. And as they were to represent him, he had given them power over all evil. And praise the Lord for that. As the apostles would represent him and have this mindset of, we are representing Jesus Christ, we can accomplish what he has sent us out to accomplish. No doubt they would have had that going into this event. But a father now comes to Jesus with an unstable, demon-possessed son. This father, verses 14 down to verse 15, he humbly seeks out Jesus to help his son. That's what the Bible reveals to us. It says he comes to Jesus, a certain man, kneeling down to him. He humbles himself. He's acknowledging Jesus' position as the Messiah. And so he asks him to help his son. He reveals that the disciples had attempted to help. But the Bible says in verse 16, I brought him to thy disciples and they could not cure him. So they had attempted and was not able to cure this boy. Verse 19, we find here that after Jesus cured the boy, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? The apostles asked, why? This was designed by God. Everything in the life of Jesus Christ had purpose. Every place he went, everything that he would address, everything that's recorded in this Bible has been recorded for all of us in this New Testament Christianity to learn from. And so this was recorded for us to learn from. It was a time that he was preparing his apostles to take over what he would have established as a New Testament church. He came to establish his church, and then he would go to the cross of Calvary. But we're in the third year of the teachings of Christ, and we're studying on his preparation of the apostles. And so that's what he was doing. He was preparing them to take over, especially during the apostolic age, the work that he would have established, and it has been carried on now for some 2,000 years. Praise the Lord for the New Testament church. But they would have to learn something that they did not know up till now, or they had not focused on, and that would be that they would need to learn about this idea of fasting. Because he would say in verse 21, howbeit, this kind, they had attempted, they couldn't do it. But he says, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So that's pretty much what we have here in this event of Christ. But in this training of the apostles and the help of that God has for all of us in battling the different forces of evil, battling the different trials and the persecutions of life, he would have us to learn this as well. So, but he begins it with Jesus addressing their faith. They knew he had given them power to overcome evil and to help those that they were sent out to help. And yet they could not, in their minds, and they did not cure this particular boy. Verse 16 and 17, I brought him to thy disciples. They could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation. Now, the disciples know that they failed to do what they were sent out to do at this time, and he was addressing them. He was addressing them concerning their faith. And he said, in this event, what had taken place, you were faithless. In verse 20, he addresses again, but he says this, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, why couldn't we do this? He addressed them faithlessness. Now they heard that, and so they go to Jesus, and they know that he said that they were faithless, and so they wanted him to expound on this and said, why couldn't we do this? And he said, because of your unbelief. Your unbelief. Without belief, there is no power in prayer. It all starts with genuine faith. Everything about the Christian life begins and ends with faith. Faith to live by and faith to die by. Without it, there's no power in prayer and no help in fasting. Paul would write the church in Corinth, and he would say to them, we walk by faith, not by sight. So many think would rather walk by sight, and they want to see everything that's going on, but that's not God's plan for us today. We don't have to be able to see behind the scenes and why things are going on and why things happen the way they happen. We don't have to do that. We don't have to be able to see that. We don't even have to be able to understand that. What we have to have is faith to believe that we do serve a resurrected Savior. He is very much aware of everything that's taken place on planet Earth. He's very much aware of what's going on in your life, in my life. He knows all that's taken place. He sits on the right hand of God the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. Yeah. But he says to them, faithless generation. That means that they were acting without faith. Acting without faith. Has there been times in our lives that we actually try to deal with things without faith? If you try to deal with things without faith, and you're trying to deal with things without the help of God, and when you try to deal with things without the help of God, more than likely you're going to fail. Because God's blessings are associated with Him. He's a rewarder of all of those who diligently seek after Him. And as we seek after God, then we find that the faith allows us to know that He is, and our faith allows us to seek after Him. And if we by faith are seeking after Him, then He can then administer to us the help that we have need of, whether it's grace, whether it's peace, whatever it might be. Faith allows us to access the power of God. Amen. Now, he gives an illustration here that would baffle the mind when he says, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence ye to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. If you can move mountains and you are convinced that there, I can do anything. But it's really not you doing it. You have to have faith that God can do it. Amen. If you have faith that we serve a God who created all things, He put the mountains where they're at. He spoke the worlds into existence. If you truly believe in a living God, in a living Savior who was there at creation, moving mountains would be nothing to God. And if it was God's will for me to have to be able to move a mountain, then by faith, if God would have me to do this, especially if He sent me out to accomplish this, I could move mountains. And that's what He's presenting to the disciples. You could have removed mountains if you had just that little bit of faith, but you acted without faith and you couldn't even heal this little boy. That's what he's saying. That's what he's presenting to them. They gave up on helping this boy, even though they were sent to help those in need, as his father with this son. Faithless. Have you ever failed in trying to figure out why you failed? Could it be connected to a lack of faith? In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11 is the Hebrews Hall of Faith. I love it, the Bible Hall of Faith. And it's found here in the book of Hebrews. And the only definition of faith found in the scriptures is found here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And the Bible says this about faith. Now, faith is, this is what it is. This is based on the Word of God. This is what God is teaching us. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you have to see it, it's not faith. You have to touch it, it's not faith. It is the things hoped for and the evidence. Faith gives me evidence of things not seen. I don't have to see it to know it exists. With that in mind, concerning those that are in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, those that God had recorded in this hall of faith, if you will, he says this about them in verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They died knowing that the Messiah was coming. They died knowing that heaven is real. They died knowing that God had a purpose for everything that they had to go through in life. That's faith. And all of these listed there died in faith. Now, some of what he says about these listed in the Hebrews Hall of Faith is found over in verse 36, when the Bible says, "And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments." How were they able to make it through such persecution? Faith. Because they died in faith. Not only was it they live by faith, but they lived their entire life by faith, so that they were able to die with faith. Amen. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute. God, if you're real, then you're allowing me to have to go through these things. I'm destitute, I'm afflicted and tormented. Just a few things that the Bible records concerning those that lived before Christ, but they understood that there was a purpose for what they were going through leading up to the coming of the Messiah, the coming of Christ. And so not only did they live by faith in the coming of Messiah, but they died in faith knowing that they would see him. Now, we have history to look back on. We have some 2,000 years ago to look back and say the Messiah did come. He proved himself. He's impacted the world. Christianity was established by him. They will never be able to overcome doubt if they don't understand the coming of Christ and the virgin-born birth of Christ, the laying his life down on the cross of Calvary and taking it back up 3 days later. the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection. Wow. Yeah. We weren't there to see it, but by faith I know it took place. Yeah. They gave up on helping this boy, even though they had been empowered to do what they should have done in curing him. You see, faith reveals that the solution to whatever it is that we're facing is to be found in God. Don't give up on it. Don't run away from it. Just dig a little deeper in your faith. Get a little closer to the Savior, because he's all you need if you have faith to believe in him. Don't be faithless. Faith is something that not only do we need to live by, but what a blessing it is to die in faith. Yeah, I've seen both. I've seen those die in faith, and I've seen those that died not understanding faith. So we find here that he addresses their faith. Go back with me to our text, Matthew chapter 17, because that's the key. That's where it all starts. Our help from God begins with our faith in God. But then Jesus would address their prayer. In verse 20, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say. Now it comes back to their verbalizing it, praying, if you will, that God would remove this mountain. If you have this faith, then you can have prayer, because it accesses the power of God. Matter of fact, in verse 21, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by, first of all, prayer and then fasting. But can you understand what he's revealing to them? He's telling them the most important thing that you can look to begin whatever it is that you need to deal with is your idea of your belief, your faith. Do not live a faithless life. You cannot have the victories that God wants you to have in life if you don't have genuine faith. You have to believe. That has to get settled in your life. There is nothing that can happen. There is nothing that I can that can come about to being. Somebody finds something that says, well, this proves that the ark was real. Listen to me. I don't need an archaeologist to find something about the ark for me to believe that the ark was real. Why? Because I live by faith. I have faith to believe the ark was real because the Bible tells me it was real. My faith is based on God's word, which is God, my belief in God, and he has preserved his word so I might know and live by every word that proceed out the mouth of my God. I can do that. That's faith. Establish it right now. There's nothing that can take away my belief in God. My faith is solid. That opens a door for you to have a powerful prayer life. One that is necessary, you can move mountains, or you can do that which is physically impossible with man, but not impossible with God. That's a powerful prayer life. He said, you can just speak this, praying to me, knowing that you can't have the power, but I have the power, and you can have the power through prayer. Wow. He addresses prayer. See, prayer is more than something to help us feel better. Can I tell you, prayer, knowing that God hears your prayer, will make you feel better. But prayer was not designed to deal with your feelings. Prayer was designed to give you access to the power of God, allowing us to communicate with a creator God. It's a powerful tool that God has given believers to communicate with him. Do you see prayer as that? It's a tool. God has designed it. Man ought to always pray not to faint. If you don't want to faint, then you better be aware of God and your relationship with him and your ability to communicate with him anytime that you have need to communicate with God, because prayer will change your life if you understand it. But it's not just a feel-good thing. Most religions, prayer is just a feel-good thing. True Christianity, it is a powerful tool to be used to accomplish what God has you here to accomplish. Psalms chapter 66. Let me read this to you, write it down, or you can, if you want to, able to turn there that quick. But Psalm 66, I want you to write down and read verse 16 down to verse 20. It says this. The psalmist says this: come and hear, all ye that fear God. Reverence God, acknowledge God. And I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I cannot have both. I cannot have a powerful relationship with God and also have a relationship with the sins of this world. I cannot have both. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed it be God, which hath not turned away my prayer for his mercy from me. So God has allowed me to have a communication with him and know that Creator God hears my prayer and he will answer my prayer according to what's best for me, to help me with his grace and his mercy, to get me through whatever it is I have to face. Wow. Most of the time in the Christian life, this faith, genuine faith and prayer, is all we need. And it's designed for that, for the most part. If I truly believe in God and then I use prayer as God would have me to use prayer, I'm communicating with him and he gives me peace, he gives me understanding. I'm talking to God 24/7 sometimes. I get in my prayer closet, I bring all my needs and my frustrations to God. I talk to him about it, he gives me what I have need of. Praise the Lord. I'm living the Christian life, and I'm experiencing the victory in the Christian life as God wants me to experience victory in the Christian life, and it is first of all based on faith. Do not live a faithless life, and then the idea connected to that is a tool of prayer. Praise God for that. Most of the time, that's all we need. The apostles had been casting out a lot of other demons, had been healing a lot of other sick folk, had been helping a lot of individuals. They were sent out to do that, overcome any evil and helping people and pointing them to Christ. They'd been doing that. But this one was different. This battle was going to be different from every other battle they had fought thus far. They would have to need what God had for them as an extension to faith and prayer. They needed to learn about fasting for this kind. This must have been a very powerful evil influence, one that they had not dealt with as of yet. They tried. They could not. Their failure, first of all, was they didn't believe they could do it, or they would not have quit. They would have realized, I just need something that I'm not privy to right now. I need to go back to the Savior to figure out, what can I do to get the victory that you sent me out to get, to accomplish what you have for me to accomplish. If he empowered them to go out and get it done, then they could get it done if they had enough faith. They had strong faith. And they used prayer and communicating with God. Because in that communication with God, God would have revealed to them there is an extension to that prayer. Look to Jesus to understand the extended help of fasting. That's Bible. Why aren't we using it? A lack of faith? Why aren't we using it? Ignorance? Not understanding? Then let's look to Jesus and get a better understanding of what he's given to us. The definition, Webster's definition, would be to abstain from food. A biblical definition is to abstain from food or pleasure. There are several types of fasting in the Bible where they had to abstain from pleasure for a period of time for spiritual victory, for spiritual help, for spiritual strength. It acknowledges that the answer to prayer is more important than whatever it is that I'm fasting. I have faith to know that this is what God would have me to do. I am praying to God, and I'm adding fasting to this because this idea of fasting, whatever it is I'm fasting, the answer to my prayer is more important than that. I love the example of a mechanic has been given tools to be able to do the work that a mechanic does. One of the tools that every mechanic knows he needs is a ratchet. And on a ratchet, it's what you have if you're trying to take a bolt, trying to loosen a bolt or to tighten a bolt. And the ratchet is there, and there's different size bolts. And so the ratchet has sockets with different sizes. And they'll take the socket, put it on the ratchet, okay, and be able to put it on the bolt to be able to take the bolt out or to tighten the bolt, put the bolt in. That's part of the mechanic's work. If he doesn't have a ratchet, he can't do the work. But as he has a ratchet, not only does he have a ratchet, but there are several different sizes. And so he has all the sizes so that he can do the work that he's called to work to do. But every now and then, there's a bolt way down inside the engine and the surroundings where the ratchet and the socket cannot reach. Most of the bolts are reachable. You can see them. I think that they design engines that way so that common man can't work on them. Especially nowadays. Amen? You have to be a rocket scientist to be able to work on the brains of the engines and all whatever. But anyway. Back to my illustration. A ratchet, a socket. There's something down there. It won't get down to it. You know what they did? They designed something called an extension. The extension goes on the ratchet, and then it extends the socket. So with the extension, you can get to those. This kind. Without the extension, you'll never get to this kind. And can I tell you, if you've not already experienced it, you will experience this kind of battles, this kind of warfare. When you come up against the this kinds, you better understand the extension that God has given to you to prayer. It's called fasting, which is reliant upon prayer, which is reliant upon faith. See, if fasting is not associated with prayer and faith, it's just a diet. Might help you lose some pounds, but it's not going to defeat the devil. It's not going to give you the victory that you have need of. This kind cometh not out, but by prayer and fasting. One other thought. What can we expect from faith, prayer, and fasting? Can we expect every prayer to be answered the way I want it to be answered? Preacher, you're telling me that it's a miracle act It's a miracle tool that if I have this idea of fasting, then anything and everything, whatever I ask for, I can receive. I can move mountains. The key is, if it's the will of God, if you have a need to move mountains. Let's close with this, but 2 Samuel chapter 12. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, we have King David. King David, his first child with Bathsheba, was going to die. It was God's judgment upon David and Bathsheba. And David hears that this child was going to die. And David, understanding the power of fasting, we find this, chapter 12, verse 16. David therefore besought God, he prayed, for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And then we find that, and the elders of the house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day. David was fasting for 7 days. David was on his face before God. He was not eating. He was not drinking. He was not doing anything. He was fasting for this child to live. It came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, "Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? Will David take his own life, blaming himself for the death of the child?" But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. He worshiped. He acknowledged who God was. He acknowledged God's will was higher than his will. God's understanding of things was higher than David's understanding of things. He worshiped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, "What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread." And he said, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will, the will of God, be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Therefore, should I fast?" God's already answered. "Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." You see, no amount of fasting, no amount of faith, no amount of prayer will change God's will and cause God to work opposite his will. Because God's will is based upon what's best in eternity. Fasting, if it's not to give us the answer and according to how we have prayed, fasting will allow you the grace of God to accept the will of God. No matter what it might be. Maybe that's why we need to fast. Maybe that's why I need to understand it. Because through fasting, my faith is increased because I sense more of the presence of God in my life. And the presence of God in my life helps me to understand the will of God for my life. This kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. If I could have your head bowed. This is a powerful biblical truth that so many Christians have been ignorant of. And yet it's been there for some 2,000 years. Jesus reveals it to us. We have need of it. We will continue to have even greater need of it as we deal with the things in the last days, because I believe the last days are upon us. Prayer and fasting has never been as important to Christianity as it is today. Do not be faithless. Act according to faith. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word, this event that you have recorded for us, that we might study and learn from it and apply its truths to our lives. Lord God, you know exactly what's taking place in each and every one of our lives that are here today, and you know what kind of needs we have. I pray, God, for each one to receive the message and apply it as you would have them to apply it. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.